Blog Talk Radio.
Some technical issues in the past couple of weeks and not able to do the show, but we are here today and it's going to be good, and we're going to move on because now things have been upgraded and we should be doing better. One of the things that has come to my attention are people who are wondering how else to get the show other than on your phone. Well, you can actually go to Facebook and pull it up. You can go to Google and pull up The Man's Voice, and I think once you dial in, you will be able to send calls and call in and that also too. But for those of you that just want to call in and listen, the 646-668-8740 is the number that you can actually call into the show, and we will answer questions or talk to you or however you want. But because we've been off the air, I'd like to say hello to our panelists who are on. There's not as many as normal, but there are enough here to get the show going. So I'd like to say hello to Don and Darius and Michael. How you guys doing?
Good. Good to hear everybody.
Yeah, good.
Doing absolutely wonderful, David.
Well, good. Want to get going, get started. There's so much going on. I wanted to, as we, you know, move along waiting for the other panelists to get in, there are a lot of things that are going on. And one of the things that is something that I think would be an interesting subject is that the former President Donald Trump, he's the oldest candidate for the 2024 GOP presidential field. Well, and he's saying there should not be an age limit for the presidency, but he also expressed support for requiring mental competency tests for candidates. So panelists, do you think that the presidents should have to find out if they're competent to stand in for 4 to 8 years? They should take a test. What are your thoughts on that? Darius.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. First of all, thanks for calling on me, David. I'm absolutely, man, 100% for this. It was amazing to me that when Nikki Haley brought it up, you know, she drew a lot of criticism and backlash. And I didn't understand why that was such a terrible thing to ask. Like, if you're going to be the leader of the free world, I think it's absolutely reasonable that there should be competency test requirements. I remember when Donald Trump was in office, everybody was talking about invoking the 25th Amendment and talking about his mental state and talking about how he's insane or he's losing it, he's not mentally stable. And he went on his own and took a cognitive test. And then when he did it, they questioned the results. So now when you have a president who's falling down, who's falling up, who's shaking hands with ghosts, who's calling on people that aren't even there, who's falling asleep in, you know, world conferences, falling asleep and falling down off his bicycle. And when you ask him, oh, that's unreasonable, that's insulting, you know, like, that's crazy. And I don't think it's the age that matters as much as the competency. And if you can prove that these people have their cognitive skills, then, yeah, they should be able to run.
All right. Don, what are your thoughts?
Thank you for calling on me, David. I agree with Darius. You're right on, my brother. I am in remembrance of Mitch McConnell. I mean, to stop in the middle of a sentence and just freeze is a prime example. And I think that if it was anybody else, they would sit him down. I know if it was definitely me, they'd sit me down, man. I don't understand why they don't sit that man down and tell him, you got to resign, man. Come on. You've got some problems. Age should be an issue, and also term limit. I've said before, there needs to be term limits on that, any office. You know, we get people that come in with a menial income, leave out multimillionaires. That's ridiculous. And then they make a convenient occupation of the position to serve us. I definitely agree. 150%, David.
Okay. What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts on the test for president competency? Hello, Bruce? Oh, well, I think.
Now you unmuted me. Now you can hear me.
Sorry.
I just came on. I did not hear the question. I'm sorry.
We're asked the question that do you think that presidents should take a competency test to be president?
I have mixed feelings about that because you and I know, and I don't know what Don said, but I'm sure whatever he said made sense. It's something that can be abused because then if you take a competency test, do they try to relate it to age or not? And what criteria make you competent? What make you incompetent? I don't think you can do that as much as it might be a step in the right direction as far as the elder statesmen that we have. But I think ultimately it should be the choice of the people. And if they don't do enough research and keep nominating or selecting someone that shouldn't be there, shame on us. But it's still, that's the way it should be. The privilege of who's in the office should be that of the power of the people, period.
All right. Michael, what are your thoughts?
Hey, David, thanks for calling on me, and hey, hi to the rest of the panel and everybody listening. Yeah, I absolutely agree that there should be a mental competency test for the leader of the free world, as Darius and everyone else was saying. Now, I don't feel that way about a lot of other things, but if you're going to take that position and that job, that title, yes, absolutely, because you're in charge of a nuclear arsenal. You can, with one push of a button, you can end the world, okay? You have the power to change other governments. You have too much power. You're the leader of the most powerful country on the earth. So, yeah, for that job title, I would like to know that you're mentally prepared to handle that job title. But I would also think, I would also say, David, that it should be some sort of ethical sort of test given as well. Like what type of person are you ethically? Are you the type of person that would sleep with a porn star while your wife's home pregnant and pay her $100,000 to keep quiet about it? Are you that type of guy? Are you the type of guy that would lead an insurrection onto the Capitol because you're not happy with how the turnout of the election was? So I think we should look at ethics as well as mental competency. And just to throw some meat to the Republicans, I agree. Joe Biden right now doesn't look like he's mentally stable for this job title. So I got to agree with you on that one, guys. So those are my thoughts, David.
All right. Well, let's move on to around the table. And Michael, you were talking well. Would you have any comments or anything you'd like to bring to the table this week?
Yeah, I do. Thanks, David. I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah. And I'm glad I got all the guys on here because I do want to throw a topic out there, and I would like to hear the feedback from the panel. And it's on systemic racism. The reason I'm saying that is because right now we're very divided as a country. We all know that. And I think one of the roots of the problems is we disagree on the systemic racism even being true. I have friends who are Caucasian, who are liberals, who would look me in the eye and say, Michael, systemic racism does not exist. And these are my friends who are white guys or white females. And I have tons of black friends who will go, yeah, systemic racism absolutely positively does exist. So I decided to do a – I'm a filmmaker, as you guys know. I decided to do a documentary film on systemic racism called Invisible Hurdles. So I would like to throw that to the panel and to hear you guys' feedback on that. Bruce, I'm going to start with you. Do you think that most of the African Americans, myself, Colin Kaepernick, I can go on, who would say systemic racism exists, do you think we're wrong? And what are your thoughts on that, Bruce? Do you think systemic racism exists in the United States? And if it does, what should we do to fix it? And if it does not, are you just saying that we're wrong?
No, I would not say, and to different people, systemic means different things. So I'm going to not use that word. Is there racism that hurts African Americans more than other minorities or minorities in general? Yes, it does exist. And yes, should we do what we can do to try to whittle that down to as close to nothing as possible? I know that's an ideal goal, but nonetheless, that should be the goal. So yes, it does exist. But using racism as a get out of free jail card, so to speak, and I don't mean jail, Monopoly game, using it as a card for everything nowadays that's wrong. You'll find a lot of minorities, not just African-Americans, but including African-Americans, that will say, no, racism is there, but you can overcome it. You can achieve above it. You can be successful. It's a lot of it has to do with your choices, your delivery, and your demeanor, and making things work, working hard, et cetera, et cetera. So, but I would agree, Michael, there still is too much of that around. And together, both minorities and majorities, whoever they are composed of, should work to make that a lesser of a situation and a better life for all involved. And one of the biggest things as a general statement that helps solve that is a good job. If you have a good job, whoever you are, and you make a decent amount of money, and you feel you're providing for your family or your spouse or yourself or whoever else you're responsible for, that is a tremendous boost in people's enthusiasm, their integrity, their self-worth, and a job, a good paying job, starts to solve a lot of these problems. But it's only a start. We need to do more. But it does exist, and systemic, I won't use that word.
Okay, I don't know if Ron is on. I would like to hear Ron's feedback on that.
No, Ron can't make it today.
Okay, Brother Wiggins, what do you think, Brother Wiggins? Is Don not on here today, Dave?
Yeah. Don, are you listening? Maybe he's popped off for a second.
All right, what about you, Darius? What do you think, Darius? Does it exist or no?
Well, Michael, you know you and I have had this conversation before, so I guess for the benefit of the audience and the rest of the panel, I'm going to say and disagree with my brother Bruce, which I don't often do. It's going to be a no for me. And I'm saying no because I'm using the word that they use, systemic, which to me, you know, like Bruce said, it's a broad definition. So I'm going to say for me, that means there is a systematic process or there's a system set up, designed to discriminate against black people or against minorities. And to that, I have to say vehemently, no, it does not. And if it does, I've challenged many of my friends who say it is, tell me the system where it exists and then let's tear it down. And I think some people confuse individual racism with systemic racism. We will never be able to get rid of just, you know, racist in our society. And we have just as many black people that hate white people or Asian people that hate black people, or there are all types of minorities that hate one another. But in terms of a system designed to be able to oppress another minority. That system is non-existent. And the proof in that is the people who talk the most about it, your Oprah Winfrey's, your LeBron James's, your Gail King's, your Joy Reid's, your Michael Eric Dyson, these people are at the pinnacle of their professions. Joy Reid is a black woman with her own TV show, Primetime, who constantly talks about racism. Whoopi Goldberg has the one of the number one women's talk show on network television, and she's still talking about racism. LeBron James, number one basketball player, still talking about racism. This is crazy. What we should be preaching is, if I can succeed, so can you. Look at me. I made it. We've got black mayors. We've got black police chiefs. We've got black governors. We've got black AGs. We've got black, and if you look at what's going on with Donald Trump right now, every single prosecutor that's prosecuting him is black, except for the special attorney, the special counsel, but everybody else is black. So show me where black people are being oppressed systemically or systematically in this society. And you name Colin Kaepernick, who's a black quarterback. So he's at the top of his game. And then he got benched. That's when he took the knee. And if the NFL was so racist, why was he fighting so hard to try to get back in the league? So, you know, all of these people who talk about systemic racism, the so-called black leaders, they're a bunch of hypocrites, man. These guys are race pimps, and I have zero respect for them because they should be using their platform to encourage and inspire young black men, not discourage them.
Michael, I'm glad that I had an opportunity to hear this before I spoke. Michael, define systemic.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Wiggins. I was just defining to give it right back to you. That systemic meaning there are certain systems, policies, legislation that are in place right now in the United States that were put there to oppress or affect minorities in this country. That's my definition of systemic, meaning that there are systems in place that were put there purposely to hold a certain group of people back, and they've been there for hundreds of years, and they're still there today. There you go, Wiggins.
And that is just what I wanted to say, Michael. I can't believe that I just heard what I just heard from Darius. I mean, how could Darius, where you been living? I mean, where have you come from? I mean, we've lived with that, for years. Don't respond.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Comment.
No,
that's not rhetorical.
I didn't know if you were asking. Okay,
hey,
you asked me a question, so
let
him finish.
Hey, Darius, let me respond to what I'd like to say, and then you can respond.
Okay.
You made
asked me
some
a question,
statements.
I was just asking you.
You made some statements, Darius, and I use your name, but I would never use anyone else's name that would not make a statement like that, because you made those statements, and I heard them.
Right.
That's why I said your name.
Okay.
Now, you have the right to respond to what I'm about to say.
Okay.
I can't believe that that came out of your mouth, because we have dealt with systemic racism all of our life in the United States of America. All of our life. And it has never been really cured. Redlining. It still exists today, Darius. I mean, racism, cover racism. It still exists today, Darius. I mean, I live in Florida. Florida is one of the most racist states I've seen. Michigan was underlying racism. I mean, that's something that we have never dealt with. It's been hidden. It's been pushed under the rug. We've learned how to hide it. We've learned how to play games and say it doesn't exist. All of the people you know and that you mention in your dialogue have experienced racism to the highest degree. And they have money. And the reason why they're able to talk now is because that says to them, you got money, stay in your place. That's serious.
Hey, Darius, before you answer, can I chime in?
Sure, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, if Don is finished. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll let him finish first.
I'm done.
All right. Donald, bless you, man of God, and I'd like to think we all are, except one gentleman that says he's not, but he is, whether he likes it or not. you use racism, Don, and others that are overuse it in today's world. Racism has begun something, a tool to stir negative emotions and divide. The very things that you say racism does, using it the way it's used today, just encourages it. A better word, as I was listening to you talk, is suppression. Yes, various groups, not just blacks, Jewish, a number of other minorities, and it's changing almost by the month these days, are suppressed as well. And yet, I get the feeling, the way you explain it, you and Michael explain it, Don and Michael, is, well, this makes us worse off than everybody else, and therefore we can use it as a card to I don't know, eliminate certain things. There are a lot of people that are the right is suppressed by the left. The left is suppressed by the right.
Okay.
And all the others I mentioned. All the others I mentioned. So you need to figure out a way, as Darius adequately and professionally said, to get away from your excuses and rise above it and excel in the environment you're in. And if you don't like the environment you're in, move to another one. You have that right. And
okay,
that
Bruce,
privilege.
I'm going to cut you off this
time.
Bruce,
Bruce, you're taking too much of my time. There's racism on both sides, Bruce. Come on, man. And the thing is, it doesn't just happen in the United States. It's in the world, man.
So is suppression. In the world. Man.
Let me explain to you a system. I'm going to give you an example of one system that's just there and it was put there to affect people of color. The 1968 Gun Control Act, signed into law by Lyndon Baines Johnson. That's a law on the books. It's been on the books since 1968. It's a racist law. It was put there for racist reasons because at the time the Black Panthers were all carrying guns and they stormed marched on the Capitol in Sacramento. So all these white legislators sat in the room and said, hey, we got to figure out a way to make sure black people can't carry firearms. Even though the Second Amendment says every American can carry a firearm, a bunch of white guys got together and said, we need to figure out a way to make sure African Americans can't carry firearms. And they passed the law, the 1968 Gun Control Act. So that's one example, Bruce, of systemic racism that's still in place. There's many more, but I just gave you an example of one. Darius,
well, what's interesting, and then I'll shut up because I took some of Darius's time and he needs to respond, is that act, if you read deeper into what's going on, it's not just about a certain group of people that can't have guns. You're wrong about that. Check out and do some research, and you'll find out what I mean. That's crap. It's not just about African Americans. You're wrong.
Bruce
right,
is
so,
on both sides of the
thank
fence.
Thank you, Bruce.
All right. Okay. Go, Darius.
Respond. Respond both sides. Because, see, you just centered around African Americans and people of color. Talk about the other side as well. Because racism is on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, I don't think you were listening to me, Don, when I said that. I said we have racism in this world, period, from all sides. I said we have blacks that discriminate against whites. We have Asians that discriminate against blacks or against whites.
But, Darius, focus on the systems, though. Darius, focus on the systems. We're talking about the systems, not
Michael,
the individuals. Talk about the systems.
Michael, I am. I was addressing Don's question. He asked me to address that, so that's what I was doing. So, Donna, you may not have been listening when I said that. Now, in terms of what you guys are talking about, you're still missing my point. The argument is not, is there racism in the world? Yes, there is. There will always be. Michael specifically said systemic racism, which to me implies there's some sort of system, some sort of legislation, some sort of law that is in place to discriminate against minorities. And you guys have failed to prove that. You said two things. Michael said the
1960s. I gave you one.
Michael, you cut me off. I'm getting ready to address that. That 1968 Gun Control Act was not about racism, like Don said. It was about the manufacture and the sale and interstate commerce of weapons. It had nothing to do with race. Now, were
That's
they
right.
geared toward the Black Panther? Maybe. But that law did not say only black people could not engage in interstate commerce of weapons. It did not say only black people could had to have a manufacturer's license to produce weapons inside a state or to bring weapons from out of state. That law didn't say that, Michael. So you're being dishonest when you say that's a part of systemic racism, because it's not. Don talked about redlining. Redlining was not against black people. Now, did it happen to involve can I finish, please? Did it happen to involve areas that were predominantly black? Yes, because there was a high crime rate, and there were a lot of people who were letting their homes go into foreclosure because they were fleeing the inner city. And so mortgage companies, they have something called actuaries, which is the same things insurance companies have. If you have a high crime district or where they steal a lot of cars, your car insurance is going to be higher in some neighborhoods than it would be in others. That has nothing to do with race. Now, if it happens to be that those neighborhoods are predominantly black, then so be it. But you're not being discriminated against, because guess what? You don't have to buy a house in that district. You can buy a house in another district. It's not systemic racism, guys. And if you give me one system or legislation or law that points to something that blacks are being suppressed about, I'll agree with you. But nobody has been able to show me that system yet.
All right.
Okay, David. I'm sorry, David. Go ahead, David.
Go ahead. You have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to debunk everything Darius just said, but I don't want to waste that much time, so go ahead, David.
All right, thanks. All right, gentlemen, let's move on. Let's go on to I have some things we want to talk about later, but let's get around the table first. Bruce, what do you have that you would like to bring to the table?
Well, thank you, David. I want to bring up the subject that's becoming more and more in the headlines and getting deeper as far as exposure. And that is the saying that is being used over and over again, no one is above the law. But the Democrats in power seem to think, well, that doesn't include us. We can do whatever the heck we want. And more about millions of dollars being funneled into said family, and you all know who I'm talking about, and the constant lies and manipulation of words and things to make something fit a narrative that is not the truth has me worried, because it tells me, whether you're conservative or liberal, that we have a group, and I'm not even sure who is the seat of power right now, but we have a group in the seat of power that can pretty much do whatever they want. And because of the spokespeople they have in all the major networks, they can get reinforcement from anything and everything they say. That really bothers me, because it is not, I'm not saying everything they say is wrong and whatever another group says is right. I'm just saying we're not hearing both sides of the story. We constantly hear one side, and the other side is either suppressed, muzzled, controlled, or taken out of the picture, and that's wrong. And that really bothers me. Just both sides. So you, Michael, you, Don, you, Darius, myself, and everybody else that's on this network can make their own informed decisions, because that's what America is supposed to be.
But Bruce, when the 43rd president was in office, wasn't that still an issue during his tenancy?
Yeah. I mean, in one form or another, David, a number of presidents in the lineage of presidencies in modern time, in one form or another, have been guilty of those things. Yeah, I'm not saying one side is right and the other side is wrong. It's the suppression of one side or the other that's wrong. You need to have, it almost feels like, what are they afraid of? That if the other side states their case and has information and details to back it up, that they won't be able to defend their position? That's the feeling you're starting to get, and more voters are starting to feel that way. And that's the biggest fear. I don't think certain people that are in charge, whoever they are, have anything to back up their claims. They're just saying it, and the press fortifies it without any with very little proof. And that's all I'm saying. Both sides need to be out there for you and I and everyone else to make a decision.
Okay. Anyone have any comments on that? If not, let's move on. Okay, go ahead, Michael.
I know we can move on. Let's move on. We can move on.
I wanted to make a comment. I wanted to make a comment on it, David.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say in conjunction with what Don was saying, there's also a bill that was just struck down by a circuit court judge that said that the Biden administration, speaking of suppression of information, was in violation of the law by colluding with social media and the press to suppress information dealing with COVID, dealing with the Hunter Biden laptop, preceding the elections as well. So what Don was saying, I just wanted to piggyback on that as well.
Okay, well, let me say this real quick. It's funny, Bruce and Darius and the Republicans, it's funny how you guys are trying to make the Biden family to be like a crime family because the Trump family is such a crime family. You can't defend the fact that the Trump family is a crime family. So instead of defending that, you're going to just try to pull Biden down to Trump's level and making Biden with his family doing a crime family just because the Trump family is. Now, granted, Hunter Biden is a screw-up. Hunter Biden probably belongs in jail. He's a crackhead. Once a crackhead, always a crackhead. But everybody knows Joe Biden had two sons. Rest in peace to his other son, Bo Biden. Bo Biden was a stand-up, great guy, lawyer, attorney general, amazing human being. His other son, Hunter Biden, is a screw-up. Everyone knows when in a house there's two boys, one of the sons is going to be great, one's going to be a loser. Everybody knows that. Hunter Biden is the loser. Okay, he is. But that doesn't make the Biden family a crime family equal to the way the Trump family is a crime family. So what you guys are just trying to do is trying to pull Biden family down to the Trump family level because you can't defend what the Trumps are doing.
And you don't understand,
Bruce, you
Michael, the son is a means to an end. They're not talking about the Inquisition for impeachment and so forth, just to get answers. That's all that means is to get to the real source of the problem and the interaction between the then vice president and his son. They're not really after him because he's already been in the process of being indicted. They're after the bigger situation and the bigger connection that he's connected with his father. That's what they're after.
All right. I'm going to bring this to an end here. We had too much politics right now.
Yeah.
And got a bunch of listeners asking other questions. One thing that I think is really interesting is NASA have discovered there's evidence of life on a planet that is 100 light years away. And the White House just recently, through NASA, did a discussion, and they had a bone, a body, but they had the head of one of the planets, one of the people they, one of the things they think are alive. So it was very strange that we citizens have not known that there's life on another planet, somewhere, and that the government has had these bones and things from this planet for quite some time. What are your thoughts on that, Don?
David, let me reserve my answer and call on someone else, please.
All right. What about you, Bruce? What are your thoughts on life on another planet?
Since it's something that's, no pun intended, very foreign to almost all of us on planet Earth, and you can reserve your right on whether you think it's real or false, the two bodies that they've shown in those cases, they almost look like, I'm not saying they're real or false, but they almost look like just clay models of something, not living specimens of some kind. So I'm still out. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I've always said I don't think we should be pompous enough to think in this entire universe and the universes far beyond ours that we're the only living, somewhat intelligent beings in it. I truly believe there's others, but I haven't been able to really feel comfortable that like those are real or this is real or whatever. And I'm still trying to digest the information as it comes out and more comes out that never was before, but it is starting to come out now.
So you saw the bodies and you think that they were something made up by man on Earth?
Well, I question, I didn't say that they were. I said, I wonder if they are. They almost look like clay models versus something that was living and breathing. I'm not saying they weren't. I don't know, but they don't, to me, they don't. And if they're thousands of years old, God knows what we would look like in a thousand years. We'd probably look just as bad. So, you know, I just have a trouble finding something that's definitive enough to say, boy, this is really real.
So are you saying that you have questions about our scientific people in the world, NASA? And so you're saying that these scientists would try to trick the world, the world?
No, not trick. But I wonder if we've got enough intelligent information gathered that can truly say these were whatever they were, and they existed and in some form lived. I'm not saying that they're, it's a big hoax and they're trying to, but you and I know for decades and decades, if not longer, a lot of this information, good, bad, or indifferent, has been held from us. So there's still a lot of angst and a lot of suspicion as to just what's being fed to us. Are we getting the whole story? Are we not? Do we truly know what they know now or just a part of it or what? And it's hard to form an intelligent decision on something if you don't have all the data that's available.
Okay, let's go to the panelists, scientists. Darius, what are your thoughts on this?
That's Dr. Darius to you, David.
Excuse me, sir. Wow.
Let me start off by saying this to Michael first before I get started. If you find 155 suspicious activity reports and $20 million in bank accounts to Trump children and grandchildren, Michael, I'll be happy to discuss that with you.
Touche.
But in terms of the aliens, I did see the one from Mexico. I didn't see the other one, David. And the one from Mexico, suspiciously and oddly enough, looks like the E.T. character,
yeah,
which is weird to me. So I can't figure out if they're faking it because they're trying to mimic the E.T. character, or the E.T. character is mimicking what, you know, government knew all along was out there, you know. So I'm suspicious of everybody at this point. I do believe there's life out there, but I'm with Bruce. I haven't seen any significant evidence to make me say, oh, absolutely 100% that thing that you guys are presenting to us is evidence, because, you know, I've seen what the government has done during COVID. I've seen what they've done, you know, with some other things that are going on. So I don't have any faith in these organizations. I know a lot of organizations will put forth something, a fake study or a fake specimen in order to receive grants to continue with their special projects. So, no, I don't have faith in either one right now. But I do believe there's life, another life form out there.
All right, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Darius, and I think it was Bruce. Yeah, it's kind of arrogant of us as human beings for us to think that we're the only living species in this entire galaxy. Yeah, so I definitely believe that there's some sort of form, some form of living life or living something out there somewhere. I don't think the American government has found out about it yet. I don't think we have, because the fact that Donald Trump was president for 4 years, he would have snitched on that one by now. He would have definitely leaked that one. Like, and not, if not him, someone in his administration, Omarosa, Steve Bannon, one of his homeboys would have snitched already and said, look, there's aliens in Omaha. Okay, there really are.
Homeboys.
Like, so, yeah. So I don't think that we found them. And in regards to the ET-looking alien that the Mexican government put out, yeah, you can't trust the Mexican government. I think they were – thought they were being clever by making an alien and look just like E.T. So, no, I don't buy that one.
All right. So how do you think, if there is life out there and we finally are discovering it, how do you think we should approach it? So, Don, can you answer that question? What do you think we as the world, you know, of the world, what should we do and to approach it? Do you think all the governments should come together to try to make friends with it, or what do you think we should do?
Yeah, I think everybody summed it up, David. There's a fact, and that's why I wanted to wait before I said something. The scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all his, man. I mean, the earth is just one part of it. I mean, we got to be really asinine to think that we're the only people in the world according to God's scheme of the universe and mankind. So it's something that we can't do anything about. He owns all of this, man. And we are just residents on Earth. I don't think we can do anything, really. It is.
All right. So you're saying that God has this structure of planets, and he oversees them all. And so it's up to him to decide what goes on. You agreeing with that, Bruce?
Well, I think the Lord and God is omnipotent. He covers everything that we have knowledge of. But even as Michael said, even beyond the universe and what we can even think is out there, it might go far beyond that. And you know, and you can't wrap your thought or your arms around that. But from the standpoint of our knowledge of existence of the universe, yes, I think there is a higher power, and in my Christian belief, it is God and his son Jesus that oversee and I don't want to say control, but are the guiding force in all of this. And the beauty of that guiding force is the intelligent beings that we are supposed to be, gentlemen, is we get a choice. They didn't hardwire us like they do the animals. They made us a special race where you get to choose. And to some degree, you have a guidance and a ability to mold your own, as some of us said, your own career, your own destiny, your own success, your own failure to some degrees. And that makes the human race, as far as what we see, something very different than the wild animals on Mother Earth.
Hey, if I may real quick, guys, we all agree. We all agree that there's more to it than just us here on Earth. We all agree to that. But, and I'm speaking as an atheist, the only atheist on the show, Do you guys also agree that we say that it's arrogant for us to think it's just us? Isn't it kind of arrogant for us to think that God would send his only begotten son, Jesus, to chill here with us? Isn't that kind of arrogant to think that? Like, if we all agree that God has a lot of other things going on other than just us, Earth, why would he send his only child here to us? Isn't that equally arrogant, guys?
And, Michael, let me add to what you as an atheist said. Let me say this. I do believe that we are just pebbles on the beach, gentlemen. Don't think too highly of ourselves. We're just pebbles on the beach.
Define that.
And
what I mean by that,
to fortify what you said, and Michael, whoever said that God just came to this earth? Have you ever thought maybe he's involved in a lot more than even here?
Why would he send Jesus here, though? Why would he send Jesus here is the question.
What makes you think this hasn't happened in other places with other races or whatever you want to call them? I'm not closed-minded enough to think that we're it. We're ground zero in the entire universe, and I think you'd agree with that even as an atheist. I don't necessarily think that's true. I believe in what makes our special and what was done here, but who's to say it hasn't happened in other parts of the universe? I couldn't say yes or no because I don't know.
But, Darius, Michael, doesn't that mean the story of Jesus is fabricated, though? Doesn't that mean that the story of Jesus is just a fabricated, made-up fallacy, Darius?
Michael, let me explain that to you. He gave his only begotten son is a way to deal with salvation. Jesus is a way of dealing with salvation when a person sins. The scripture is used to say God gave his only begotten son, and if you go to him, you can get salvation.
Okay.
That's the way it's interpreted. That's the way it's used.
Okay. But Don, to add on to what you said too, his son did have to die, and I think Michael's question is, why did he send him here to die for us? And what makes us so special? And isn't it narcissistic for us to believe that? Am I right, Michael?
Absolutely, Darius. 100%. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked.
Let me hear Darius. I want to hear what Darius Wiggins, with all due respect, brother. Can I hear what Darius says?
Okay, go right ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So, when you look at what happened in Genesis and early Genesis, God said, and this is like to piggyback off of what Bruce said too, it doesn't mean that it didn't happen anywhere else. We don't know that. But what he talks about in the Bible is how man was the only creature made in his image.
Image, yeah, that's right.
And so,
and his likeness.
So he and
right.
his likeness. And man was the creature where he actually himself breathed his own life into man and made man a living spirit, a living soul with a body, an earthly body, okay? So that's first and foremost why we're so special. Now, this question was also posed, Michael, by the angels in heaven. The angels even asked God one time. The angel said, what is man? What is man that thou art so mindful of him? Why do you love them so much? Why do you give them this much attention and this much grace that even the angels were in awe of God's love for mankind? And the reason why goes back to Genesis. We're the only creatures that the Bible talks about that was made in his image, his likeness, and that he breathed his life into directly. And so that's the answer that I have for you. That's the biblical answer of why that happened and why he loved us so much that he sent his only son to sacrifice his life to die for our sins, that we might be with him one day eternally.
And also, there may be other species on different planets that we don't know of.
That's correct.
Don't have to be men. They could be cows. They could be dogs. We don't know. We just don't know. But on Earth.
Okay, so to that point, Brother Wiggins, if that's the case, so did God send Jesus there with the cows as well? Did he send him there too?
He sent him to Earth.
Argument that the Jesus story is fabricated because did he send him where the cows are? Did he send him to all these other places that he has as well? Or did we here on planet Earth just make a story about a guy named Jesus?
No, he sent him to Earth.
I think it's historical fact that Jesus existed, so we can't deny that. I mean, even non-Christians, even atheists wrote about Jesus' existence. So we can't say that he wasn't here. He did exist. Now, rather people believe that he was resurrected or not is something totally different. But nobody has found his grave thus far, found his tomb thus far. But I will say this, Michael, it doesn't mean that it's fabricated because he doesn't talk about other places, because he doesn't talk about, you know, what's happening in other galaxies or other universes. He's talking what happened here because he's talking directly to us. As it is related to him and his kingdom. So it doesn't mean that if something else is going on somewhere, it doesn't negate anything that's happened here on Earth.
When you say him and his kingdom, who are you referring to?
God's kingdom in terms of us and the kingdom of heaven.
Okay, so in that kingdom, there's a lot of other planets and things going on, as we agree. There's one with cows on it, as Wiggins said. Once again, that question's not being answered. Why did we get the son, his only son?
I just told you. We were made, he loved us so much. It says in John 3:16, because he so loved the world, is the apple of his eye, is what he told Gabriel, that man is the apple of his eye.
But couldn't
so
that story be
world.
Fabricated too, though? Couldn't that be a fabricated story as well?
Anything can be fabricated. That's why you have to have faith. Either you believe the word of God or you don't. I mean, I can't
that's
say that it can't be fabricated.
About.
Exactly.
And
that's why we get
and
it.
Mike, and Michael, just because we can only experience what happened, as Darius and Donna both said, on this planet Earth, doesn't mean it couldn't have happened someplace else. Just because we only witness it here doesn't mean this is the only place it maybe it was, but we don't have any proof or any way of knowing that. It's
so,
a lot
so
of things in a religion
story.
is faith driven. It's not mechanically proven. It's faith driven.
No, you made the point. We don't really know, so therefore we go with the fabricated story. Ahead,
why
Jerry,
is it fabricated?
Why
do you say it's
Michael,
fabricated?
Hey, Michael, you missed one word that Bruce just said, faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, you have a lack of faith, and
right.
It's okay. We understand what you're saying, but without faith, it is impossible to please God or understand
right.
or comprehend what we're saying.
Right.
Your faith is not to that level.
Well, I have faith, right. But I also have logic. I'm also logical.
You got faith, but faith in what and who?
Yeah.
I have faith, but I also have logic. It's just not logical that God and his kingdom would send his only son, Jesus, to be here with us. That's arrogant for us to think that. I'm logical as well. I have faith that somebody woke me up this morning. Somebody created the sun, the stars, the ocean. Somebody created my beautiful family. I don't know who that somebody is, and I don't think any of you do. So instead of me just going with the fabricated story, I just choose to say I don't know.
Gentlemen, let me throw in some things. Could it be that, there's God in all these planets, and in all these planets, the one on Earth, these citizens were the only ones committing sins and crime and killing each other and stuff like that. So God had to send someone here to get us out of that trouble, but the other planets are all possibly doing things they should be doing.
David,
that could be David.
And you could be right, but how do you ever prove it? You can't.
You can't prove it right now.
You can't prove it.
Hey, David, as an atheist, that's the most logical explanation I've ever heard as an atheist in my entire years on this planet. That's the most logical. I disagree with it, but that's probably the most logical explanation.
All right.
May I ask Michael a question before we move on?
Sure, go ahead.
Michael, as you said, and it made my ears perk up, you have faith in some form in your mind. You have faith. So for a lot of the people that believe very little or believe nothing at all as a true atheist, what does faith tell you? What does faith mean to you as an atheist? I would love, and I don't mean that to be diminutive. I'm curious. What does that mean to you?
Absolutely, and I'll make it real quick. Faith means to me, I have faith every morning that I wake up that if I do the right thing, live my life the way I want to live it, don't bother anybody, eat food that I'm supposed to, I'll be okay. That's my faith. I believe in that. If I obey the traffic signs, I won't have a car accident. I have faith in that. I have faith in a lot of things. I just don't have faith in that fabricated story that's been passed down since day one.
All right, Jeff. We're only going to have like 4 minutes left in the show, and I want to switch a little bit that I think you all should know, and it's something to have a conversation about, is that it has been said through a professor of sociology at the University of Virginia that a strong marriage is actually the number one predictor of happiness in America today. Doing the research, he is from the University of Virginia and a fellow at the Institute for Family Studies. What they see in the research is that both men and women who are married are most likely, twice as likely to be happy compared to their fellow Americans who are not married, while higher income levels of education and sexual frequency are also linked to happiness, having a successful marriage tops all of them. For women in particular, marriage is linked to higher levels of satisfaction with their lives. What do you guys think about that? What do you think about that, Don?
I think that is wonderful, David. You know, man was not meant to live on this earth without woman. In fact, God said it is not good for man to be alone. We as human beings, we need to interact with people, and to choose a wife or a mate to marry and live with, that has got to be the biggest happiness in the world. Because the thing is, when you choose someone to spend most of your life with, that has a devastating effect on your mental, every area of your life. So marriage is so key, and who you choose as your mate is so key.
All right, Darius, what are your thoughts?
I'm not surprised by the survey. I think if you look at the family structure, there's a direct correlation between marriage and kids in terms of education, academic success, professional success, lower crime rates, lower suicide rates. All of these things are direct correlation to, you know, the success of human beings who are married and who have a strong nuclear family structure as opposed to being single. And I think that's why, too, there's this big debate about Asian children and getting up all the scholarships for black people. And then after Asians, it's whites. And then, you know, blacks are at the bottom of the totem pole because we have such a high rate of single motherhood and of fatherless homes, and just success academically. I'm not surprised at all, and I do agree with the study.
But I have always noticed married men look at single men and say, "We know you must be happier than I am." So I think it's.
I don't think a lot of these days people say that, David.
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, they do.
They say it.
Okay, guys.
Men, but what always,
Thank you so much for listening to the Man's Voice. We see you out there. We'll be back again next Sunday for sure at 6 o'clock. Until then, stay merry. You guys have a great week.
God bless everybody. Be safe. Be safe.
Man is going to always live on both sides of the fence.
Or straddle it.
Or try to.
Yeah.